Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 11:28, back on the fan. BT and Sal here. 888-808-1019. You feeling confident? Or are you feeling, you know, a little apprehensive?
Not really. I'm not really confident. I don't know what to think anymore. I'm disappointed in the Mets because they didn't make big enough moves. They've, you know, Nimmo has gone into a total funk. Vientos, the one guy who you love, he's been carrying this team all year long. Offensively, he's been the one mainstay. He's been an impact middle of the order bat for this team. Yeah, I do think maybe Alonso starts to pick it up a little bit. I'm kind of in between. I think they are what they are. I don't think they're going to play at a high level to win the division, although it is realistic if they did to have that division within striking distance. What is it, 8 games now? But this is going to be a tough trip. I think it's going to define their season. We have given them credit, BT, with the Mets saying that, oh, they're going to be in it the rest of the way. Well, I'd be lying to you if I didn't say a part of me thought to myself, this West Coast trip, maybe it could go sideways and knock them out. With the starters reaching their innings to where they haven't been before because of injury, maybe the starting pitching can't hold up. I don't know what to believe with this team. I do ultimately think they're going to be a playoff team, but I still need to see a little bit more, specifically this 10-game stretch to feel better. I've been going back and forth. I thought they'd add bigger reinforcements at the deadline. So I'm with this team right now.
They're a tough read.
Yeah.
They're a tough read moving forward.
I mean, they did win 2 out of 3 against Minnesota. They did split the series. It just felt bad after they should have won 3 of 4. Like, when you think about their apex on that Friday night with Kodai Senga on the mound, they have not, you know, that was a high point where it looked like, man, they may get to another level. Then Senga goes down, and then they lose the next 2 games, and it's going to take a little while to build it back up. Okay, they won 2 of 3. Well, now they got to go out there and have a successful road trip. We talked about it yesterday. Anything less than 6-4, like 5-5 is, you can't rip them for it. But really, if you want to be taken seriously, and things are going to get tougher now, with maybe Atlanta playing a little bit better, with the Padres certainly playing better, at, you know, if the Mets go 6-4, that's a good road trip.
It's a very good road trip. I would take it and stretch it out even further here and just say, yeah, I'm sure most Mets fans know this, but if you don't, so you have the 3 with the Angels, Blackburn pitching tonight, obviously. It's the 1 makeup game in St. Louis, which is an odd trip. And then they got to go back out west to Colorado, who stinks, but it's a quirky ballpark. Then 3 with Seattle, who's good.
Colorado's always a nightmare for some reason.
Yeah.
That ballpark. It's just wild stuff happens. Okay.
It looks nice on TV. I've never been out there. Is it nice? Is it a good place to watch a game or no?
I loved it.
Looks awesome.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was really cool.
It was
one of my favorite.
Nice.
Like, nothing really stands out, but it's a nice place to watch a ball game.
Well, let me stretch this out further, because the 10 games, and let's say you guys go 6-4, which I think right now I would sign up for. You know, there's a time to be greedy. There's a time to stabilize. I think this is so important. But then, you know what's after that? It's 3 with the A's at home and 3 with the Marlins at home.
Right. So that's where the season. Yeah, that's where you make your ground up in not only the wild card race, but potentially the division as well.
Yes, but I don't think that is the area you want to make up the ground because you didn't play well on the previous 10 games.
No,
I think that's where you get greedy.
Yeah, I'm saying 6-4, and then what'd you give me the next 6?
Yeah, 3 with the A's, 3 with the Marlins at City. I mean, 4-2. If you don't, at least 4-2.
So let's say 11-5 then, I think,
if that
math is right.
Plus 6 right there.
Right, which gets them to what, like, they're 7 over or 6 over right now?
57-51 last I checked, but I could be off on that.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, that's...
But now you're starting to move in the right direction.
100%. I don't want to be a victim of, the overreaction. We don't do that on the show. Ever.
Yeah, right. Never.
But I really think, Sal, when we come into work on Monday the 19th,
right,
we'll know if the Mets are in it. Like,
you mean
that's after the last game against the Marlins. So that's the 10 roadies and then the 3 with the A's at home, 3 with the Marlins.
See,
that is 16 games moving into basically late August. I think we'll know all we need to know.
They are right now 57-51. I do think there's I don't want to say a better chance of it, but we'll know more if they lose on the road trip. Like, I think that they could show more to be out of a playoff spot, as opposed to saying on August 19th, like, even if they went 11-5, I still think it's going to be tough to nail down that spot. You see what I'm saying? I don't think you could clinch it then or be like, oh, they're in a great spot.
Oh, yeah, and I mean just where you're still relevant, like truly relevant. I don't even mean standings-wise because you're not going to be eliminated.
Right.
You can go 0-16, you're not going to be eliminated.
Well,
but
if they have a bad road trip, I do think that they can be in some trouble here.
Yeah.
If they go 4-6 on this trip and the Padres and Braves continue to play well.
4-6 isn't going to crush you.
Then
you come back and go
5-1
against those scrubs.
Yeah. I mean, I guess. But that's kind of what a 500 team does, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is with them, they have not been a 500 team. They've been much, much, much better than that. Think about their record since they were 11 games under 500. They're now 6 games over. And we're talking about going 6-4 and then going maybe 5-1 over those 6
17,
games.
Plus 17, plus that's plus 9, that's plus 23 from the 0-11 start, if
look,
I did that math right.
I had the lowered expectations, and then you were like, no, come on, they got to be 7-3 over this 10-game stretch or whatever. And ultimately, you're right. If they're going to be a playoff team, playoff teams don't go 5-5 on the West Coast trip. They're going to go 6-4, especially against the teams that they're playing. So 6-4.
And the Padres.
6-4 is like, okay, good, good job. And then like 5-1 against those other two teams should be the expectation.
Should be.
Sounds like a lot, but hey, you want to be a playoff team?
Yeah. Yeah, win some games. 888-808-1019. BT and Sound on the Fan doing a little juggle. The Rodgers stuff. More of a general conversation, how much sports have changed. Obviously, that in relation to the onside kick, the Met stuff. What's going on, Jack, Long Island? How you doing today?
Hey, what's up, man? So you guys mentioned that the two sports have changed between football and basketball. But basketball has changed more organically in terms of the way the players just play the game. And with football, it's just the league sticking their nose in it.
That's an interesting point because it's not like that, you know, that's actually a really interesting point, Jack. You stumbled upon something good there. It's not like the league mandated, okay, you must get rid of all the slow, heavy-footed, you know, goofballs like the 7-foot-1 centers who look like Greg Kite. Now, no disrespect there, Greg Kite, who couldn't do anything except, you know, administer fouls and maybe hit a dunk. And now you're replaced by guys who can move and the pick and roll and, you know, splash it from 25 feet. They didn't mandate that. The European influence changed that. The game changed, obviously. AAU culture changed that, more wide open. Whereas the changes in the NFL have been more a direct result of the actual rules.
Right. The NFL is changing the rules because of player safety. That's where the change comes in the sport. And I think because of those rule changes, now teams have open things up offensively. Like, that's been organic, correct me if I'm wrong, where you're having quarterbacks running the football a lot more.
Look at Jalen Hurts, sure.
Yeah, right.
Michael Vick, he's been
going on for a while.
McNabb.
The pure pocket passer is basically a dinosaur. I mean, you're not going to see that anymore, especially after Tom Brady, Matt Ryan, maybe the last two.
Joe Burrow's pretty much a pocket guy.
Yeah, I mean, that is true.
But
Kirk Cousins,
many of them.
I mean,
not
I guess there are a couple of them, but those are the rare thing now where the majority of quarterbacks can at least, you know, it's not like they're all Lamar Jackson, but they can run the football
Josh
to a certain
Allen
extent.
Can move.
But also spreading it out and being more wide open as opposed to bringing in extra blockers and pounding the football. Multiple running backs in the game, which is something that has evolved. Like, it's not all because of the player safety and the rule changes, but that is why we feel a significant change because of the rule change.
The crazy thing is, I think that, you know, Harbaugh and the way he runs his offense generally likes to go, you know, jumbo, couple of tight ends. Yeah.
That's why I believe in him.
Yeah, no doubt. Greg Roman, you know, if you, now it would be boring, although you take what you could get as a fan. Like, there's a way, because linebackers are lighter than they used to be because they got to run down the seam and hang with tight ends and go sideline to sideline. Like that hulking linebacker who could just wrap you up and tackle.
Right.
Kind of extinct at this point. But if you wanted to incorporate an offense now with you know, the fullback and H-back and multiple tight ends and whatever, I mean, you could really push people around. You could. Now, it would be kind of boring.
No, but everything's cyclical.
You could just run it all day.
Right, everything's cyclical, so why not come back around to that?
He could. He's going to try.
Which is why I would actually bet, if I'm picking a future, I would bet the Chargers to win the Super Bowl.
No, but did you see about Herbert? He's got plantar fasciitis.
How long is it going
to
be?
Well, they said that they expect him to be ready for week one, which sounds good. It's August, what, 2nd?
Yeah.
I mean, week one is September whatever.
Who's their backup?
I don't know off the top of my head. I'm forgetting.
Yeah, no, it's all right. I mean,
it's all right. What if we're sitting here? Wait, hold on.
It's all right not to know the backup.
I was saying,
with Herbert, obviously, if he's out, then it changes a lot. But I still just believe in Harbaugh.
No, I do too. I have implicit and complete unwavering faith in Harbaugh. And maybe as much as any coach in the NFL.
I say that.
I love him.
I say that. Yeah, me too. I say that not to predict that they're going to win the Super Bowl. I say that I think that they could, and based on probably the odds that I get. You see what I'm saying? Like, I think it's a good value play there.
It's a smart play, and I'll tell you this, all the dumb penalties and late game malfunction that the Chargers malfunctions.
Goodbye.
That's Chargers, not happening with Jim Harbaugh.
Chargers have been waiting for a coach like this for a long time.
Yeah.
He's going back to Schottenheimer, who was good. You know, the Norv Turner, like they had good teams, but the coaches kept getting in the way.
I know.
And obviously that's going way back, but.
I got to give Francesa a lot of credit. Do you remember? I think you were here. Remember when I came in before I went to San Francisco to work for 2 years? Mike brought me in studio. Do you remember that?
I came in for an hour. I don't think I was here, but I do remember that.
I thought you were here. I know Mons was here and those guys. Anyway, so I was in studio and it was awesome. I had a lot of fun with Mike. I was surprised he invited me in. It was cool. And
it was a slow day. Mike had you in studio for an hour?
He did.
Well,
it was on the Yes Network. It was I was really appreciative of that. I was very surprised.
Big opportunity.
Told you, man. Mike, I used to be a fan. I'm still a fan. Nah, I think he might still be, but whatever. I come in, and now this is in 2011, and you know Mike is his arrogance and his confidence, and he's like, Jim Harbaugh is going to crush it in San Francisco. He's like, he might be the best coach in the NFL. I'm like, really? I'm like, I know he's good. And remember, he was just at Stanford.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like he was, you know, 5 years in the NFL before that. He nailed it. Like, Mike saw that a mile away.
And why couldn't the Jets? I know. I mean, that's.
I know. Yeah. Oh, my God. All right.